Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right. It's weird, right?
What's weird?
Well, I'm just this kind of like, I don't have anything to complain about.
Okay. I just want to say, like, there's stuff to talk about. I mean, we had like a mass release party.
Yeah. And we'll get to that.
Sure. Yeah.
But I'm like focusing just on the show right now.
Okay.
There's nothing seriously to complain about, yet at the same time, there's not a thing that I need to, like, point and go, this is the, you know, defining thing that this is, like, there's
right.
Nothing, watching Raw this week, there was no thing that I was like, I can't wait to talk about that on the podcast.
Sure.
And it's like really good filler episodes of television.
Yeah, you know? Like, nothing that we're gonna, like, look back on, like, weeks and months from now and be like, what a great moment. But it wasn't necessarily it wasn't bad either.
Right. Know? Which is, what do I do with that?
Yeah, because, you know, wrestling podcasts are made for complaining about things.
Well, I'm not even, they are. In all fairness, they are. Because usually the stuff I'm praising is somebody else complaining about something or pointing out the flaws and fallacies in something.
Sure.
So, yes, in all fairness, half of the joy of watching wrestling is, I'm going to hate that. But I'm looking forward to Raw, but not in a way where I am eager for next Monday. Does that make sense?
I mean, you should be eager for next Monday. We're going to be there.
We are, personally.
Yes.
But, like, I'm speaking as a...
But in general terms.
Theoretical, objective fan.
Right.
There's nothing... But at the same time, it's not a Raw where I'm like, I just don't think I'll watch it this week. You know, because I'll definitely... It's done good stuff recently. I won't call it the new era, because that's stupid. But...
It is stupid. maybe we could complain about that.
It's stupid, but
I can't remember. We probably complained about this last week and the week before. But it's just a weird rebranding thing that WWE's going about now that doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
You know, if anything, it's kind of like pointing towards like, hey, we've got more NXT people, you know.
Well, and
that's kind of what they were hinting at, especially this week, like, because Big Cass was leaning heavy on the New Era stuff.
Well, somebody pointed out, like, because I think most of us will agree, Raw's been pretty good the past couple of weeks, really since Mania.
Yeah, no, I since the Raw after Mania on, it's been a really solid show.
And somebody pointed out, I don't 100% agree with them, but I do think they've got a valid point that, like, so since Mania, you know, how often have you seen Kane or The Big Show or John Cena or, you know, like...
Well, yeah, and a lot of that is circumstantial, but a lot of that, you know, still, like, you know, nothing's that we know is wrong with Kane or Big Show. So, like, a lot of emphasis is on other guys. And it also helps that, you know, again, circumstantial, that the Authority isn't coming out cutting 20-minute promos to start up every Raw.
Right.
You know, and it felt like there was a streak there that... Like, for a while, like, every episode seemed like it started with a 20-minute Authority promo.
Yeah. But so there's, again, it's not, and part of it is, this is the customary traditional pocket of suck, and it hasn't been, but it still has that same air of, if there's a time to miss wrestling... Plot-wise, storyline-wise, now is the time to do it.
Sure.
Nothing's going to change hands. Nobody's going to, like, really ascend to the top in this time period. Just this is...
Right.
You know, this is when I feel like they make the least amount of impact.
They're treading water.
Yeah.
Essentially, yeah. They're just kind of, like, killing time for before SummerSlam. Or before the bank.
Well, before, yeah, there's usually in June-ish, there's a summer storyline that kind of kicks off somewhere in June or early July.
Right.
So, that's kind of my review for Raw, which is very apathetic.
Yeah.
There's not a ton of stuff to talk about. Like, they had this Roman and AJ thing, and I'm really enjoying Roman and AJ.
Sure.
It was pretty much the exact
thing that I expected, the exact thing we had last time.
Sure.
You know, okay, so they have their little extra buddies that help out. Okay.
Yeah.
Are we official on they're just going to be called The Club?
I mean, they nailed it pretty hard on Raw this week. Like, at least once every announcer said it.
That's the thing, is like when
Michael Cole says it, it pretty much means it's official and slash dumb.
When they said it, because I think they said it first that they're you know the club, and when they said it, it felt like a nudge nudge wink wink. It's right. Bullet Club. We can't say Bullet Club, but we all know it's Bullet Club.
Yeah, I think JBL might have been the first one to actually use it. Maybe like last week or something, and it just felt like nudge nudge wink wink kind of thing.
Yeah.
But now they're like kind of leaning into it.
Yeah.
So, and again, like maybe this is a temporary thing. It's just what they're calling themselves right now. There's probably a reason why there hasn't been any merch.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I mean, but then again, like, you know, we had Y2AJ.
Yeah,
but then again, that was more like they used it as part of the storyline,
right.
The merch.
So one of the things, like, in talking about what are they going to do with the Bullet Club was the most common prevailing idea was that it was going to be the Balor Club with Finn leading it.
Right.
What are your thoughts? I don't think we've ever really touched on this. What are your thoughts of factions with a clear defined leader versus factions that are a group of guys sharing a common goal?
My perspective on that is, more or less, I feel like the group has a stronger cause week to week if they have a leader, if they have a mouthpiece, at least.
Okay, but like...
Because when you don't have that...
A mouthpiece is different than a leader. Because the Shield had pretty clear mouthpiece with Dean Ambrose, especially at the beginning.
The Shield is kind of the exception to that.
Okay.
You know, like, the Shield is like an exception to a lot of things. But as far
Fair
as
enough.
Most factions, it seems like they have a more well-defined purpose if there is some sort of leader. Because if not, you run into issues like the Core, where they beat you over the head every week that there is no leader, and yet there was no point to them.
Right.
You know? Nexus, you know, with Wade Barrett being the leader, he, you know, sad.
we'll get to that.
We'll get to it. They made a little bit more sense when there was, you know, a leader, like the Wyatts, certainly. You know, while they may not have, like, much of a defined purpose or anything, they are stronger with Bray Wyatt.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, there's some... If there's any... cultish aspects to it, clearly there needs to be a cult leader with Bray Wyatt, with Punk and Straight Edge Society.
Yeah.
That leader role
mm-hmm.
is a requirement to have that kind of faction.
Right.
I mean, I'm trying to disagree with you for the sake of you know, disagreement. I mean, you're right, the Core was you know, they're all equal was the, you know, it's not the Nexus. Please believe it's not the Nexus.
Right.
And
especially
so,
when, like, there was a form of Nexus going on at the same time.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Is like, they just... We need a Nexus for SmackDown, so we take half the Nexus, and they're on SmackDown, and they're different now, and you should buy their shirts, too. But like,
no one did, and or should they?
That's the thing is, like, with... what was the other thing? League of Nations didn't have a well-defined leader. I mean, Sheamus was...
Kind of the leader. Yeah. But, yeah, still.
But also, like, my personal, like,
But then again, what was the purpose of League of Nations?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
exactly, yeah.
And I think some of that is my personal distaste for the concept of League of Nations. Especially
right.
at that time.
Yeah.
But yeah, League of Nations is pretty pointless. But...
I mean, we all knew what their point was, and that was to give, a New Day, a WrestleMania point.
Okay. Well, and therein is my biggest argument against it is New Day doesn't have a de facto leader. They are all the mouthpiece in New Day.
I would argue Xavier Woods is like a slight, like slightly ahead of that as far as like mouthpiece wise. But then again, like
he started as the mouthpiece, but like I think you could put a solid argument for, I mean, for none of them being the mouthpiece. They are all just hanging out and chatting.
Sure.
And they just play off of each other really well.
Right.
And But that also has to get, like, how many people do you have to have in your group before you're a faction? Because a tag team's clearly not a faction. But by the time we get to four people, it's a faction. So is three people a faction? Because it's a... I mean... There is yeses and no.
I want to... Part of me wants to just be like, you know, hey, here's the defining rule, like... Two people's a tag team, three people's a faction, four people's a stable. Like, but I don't make the rules. I don't know.
Well, there's examples throughout.
But four is the stable because of
the four horsemen and stable jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah, you get it. But the people, the people listening to it are laughing their heads off. Yeah. You can tell me how much you're.
What is it by the time you get to like? How many did NWO get? Like, what is the highest number of NWO members there ever was?
I don't know.
At one time.
Way too many. Like, a third of the roster, if not half.
I'm curious. I'm sure.
But you're asking, like, what would that be called?
Yeah, is that still a stable? Is the stable four and up?
A pride? I don't know. A school of NWO?
But, like, there are different people. And I feel like... At the point of four, and certainly by the point of five, you need a leader.
Sure, you know? Because at that point is just chaos.
Yeah. All the
Which is NWO, whenever Hulk Hogan was taking, you know, a break or whatever.
All the examples that I can think of that are like, well, here's an example of a they're all equal and it works thing. Sure. Are all three.
Right.
You know?
Anything beyond that, it's chaos.
It starts to show at the seams and then really break down the more people you add on.
I mean, because clear, like, you know, they don't really come out and say it, but, you know, like Social Outcast, you know, Pete Slater is the mouthpiece / leader, so.
Yeah. And again, leader is I think leader is different than mouthpiece.
Sometimes, yeah.
The leader is always the mouthpiece, but I don't think the mouthpiece is always necessarily the leader.
Sure.
The mouthpiece is just whoever can...
Whoever can, you know, convey the message.
Yeah, whoever does. I mean, you get guys like, you know, Heenan was clearly the mouthpiece for faction or two when he was not the leader.
Well, no, but he was also like, you know,
but he was
more of a manager or anything. Yeah.
So, but that's the thing where a mouthpiece isn't necessarily a leader because he might be a managerial role or just the guy that happens to be the best on the microphone in the group role.
Sure.
So, I don't know. I'm curious as to if anybody has any strong preferences of should factions have leaders? And does that hurt all the people in the faction that aren't the leader?
Well, yeah. I mean, well, let's just go ahead and put that out there. Like, you know, if you have any thoughts on this, send us an email. Tell us all your thoughts, and we'll go through it next week. Send that to our email. That's classringattire@gmail.com.
Yep. Now, we can finally get to the thing that Chris has been dying to talk about.
Not dying, but it's news.
Yeah, I mean, kinda.
People got fired.
People got let go.
Fair enough.
Except for Cameron. Cameron might have gotten fired.
Well, Cameron was one of them. Zeb Coulter, El Torito, Hornswoggle, there goes the entire Little People division.
Mm-hmm.
Santino, which I just assumed... I mean, I knew he was retired. I didn't know he still had a contract.
Yeah.
Like you said, Cameron, Alex Riley, Barrett, and Damian Sandow. I think that's it.
So, do you want
to... And then one more extra one from today, actually.
Yeah.
Steve Lombardi, a.k.a. Brooklyn Brawler.
Oh, yeah.
And also, basically, like, was... From what I understand, he, like, was kind of, like, the promo supervisor or something, which I don't know if that's something he should be proud of.
He was the promo supervisor for the main roster, right?
Yes.
Okay. Because I was like, this solid promo is going down.
I mean, maybe he's responsible for Suffering Succotash?
Ooh.
If that's the case, then yeah, maybe 30 years in the company is enough. Call it a career. Let's go enjoy your time home.
So do we want to play the game of who shows up in which company on down the road?
Oh, sure.
Do you see Alex Riley having any sort of New Japan Ring of Honor?
No, he's got TNA written all over him.
I could see him in Lucha, though. Like,
okay, maybe.
That's kind of maybe, like, but along with, like, Ezekiel Jackson, I could see them kind of, like...
Okay.
I could see that being an atmosphere where he would thrive. Maybe, maybe. TNA is a very safe bet for Alex but Riley as well.
Personally, I feel he's very TNA bound.
Yeah.
Or
Global Force.
Or Global...
Has Global Force surpassed TNA and it's like the place you would go first?
Do you see TNA taking part in a pyramid scheme?
I'm just saying. Like,
I mean, TNA might itself be a pyramid
it's
scheme.
It's like they can't take part in a pyramid scheme because you have to pay to get in.
Sure.
And they haven't paid anything.
They're at the very wide base of the pyramid. Sandow, I feel like he can go to pretty much any company, I feel like, and, you know, pick a character and play it to, the fullest extent and get a lot of money. I feel like he can make a pretty good living in Japan.
Well, the thing is, everything with Damian Sandow is, what a terrible gimmick. Man, he got it over anyway. Look at him.
But, same thing with Mizdow.
But, like, yeah, everything Sandow's done.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, pretty much from the beginning. Even the original bathrobe, like,
sure,
you know, I'm smart and you're dumb thing. Oh, that feels really like you don't have anywhere to go with this past week three.
Right.
And he made it work. Like, he, you know, pulled that gimmick and that character. He pulled it together. And so, but I haven't seen him do a lot of, like, serious, real stuff.
No. But then again, like, you could make that argument that he was probably never really given that opportunity.
No, I don't think he was given. Like, I think there is no reason for me to suspect he's incapable of it, because sure. I've never seen him get a fair shot at it.
Yeah. I could see him going, Chikara or,
That's where
Chikara,
I was headed.
Yeah, Chikara was probably, like,
was
one
like,
of those tailor-made for him. I'm pretty sure he could do really well at, like, PWG. Japan, I still feel like Japan would probably...
I think Japan's the next place you want to go. And yeah. I think Damian Sandow can easily make a career in the indies now.
Sure.
Because of this.
Or, again, like, he can go with where Barrett's going, to, to the UK, because they're seen as, you know, is on the rise right now.
Yeah.
And with him and Drew Galloway, you know, making a, you know, pretty big name for himself in the indies, like, I feel like, you know, at least being based again in the UK and then joining a major company but still coming back.
I think with everything Drew has done since leaving, I think there's no reason Barrett isn't going to follow those exact footsteps.
Right.
And he should.
And, you know, from what I understand, like, EC3 apparently, like, quote-unquote, invaded the Omega show with Drew Galloway. And it was the same show where there were, like, WWE, like, Cruiserweight Series matches happening.
Yeah.
You know, and they cut a very – or EC3 cut a very anti-WWE sentiment situation. So you never know if some of these guys might join in with that.
Yeah.
And start, like, some sort of, you know, Omega storyline there. It still have like a weird partnership with WWE at the same time. It's like Alex Riley's ironically still in NXT. He's not with the company anymore, but yet somehow finds a way to NXT still. He still can't get on the main roster. Cameron, I feel like she could just find a model agency somewhere.
I was like, if there's like an MTV6 somewhere, she might can get a reality show on that.
Yeah. And then I feel like...
Well, and the thing's like, I don't think she has any desire to continue wrestling, like...
Oh, right. I feel like we could possibly get, like, a WLC, like, reunion in Lucha. I feel like Lucha would be perfect for... Well, obviously with El Cerrito.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. Like, and again, like, I can't remember exactly how old Hornswoggle is or how long he would want to be doing this. Cause I know he's had surgeries and stuff. So I don't know how interested he's in working as a wrestler, but Lucha Underground would be perfect for that.
I mean, El Torito, I feel, isn't guaranteed to go to Lucha, but, like, I wouldn't put my money on anything else.
Oh, sure, and, you know, clearly he could, you know, make an easy living in AAA.
Yeah.
In Mexico.
But, like, yeah, with Hornswoggle, I don't know how much more... he's got left in his career. He is, you know, a little on the older side.
Right.
It's, you know, what...
And he, you know, clearly, like, he doesn't get around nearly as easily as Torito.
Right. He's had, you know, I don't know how talented he is, because he's had maybe two matches in his career where I've actually gotten to see him, like, show off any sort of actual training or what he can do.
And I'm pretty sure one of which he was dressed up as an alligator.
Yeah, so it's like, there's not a huge ton of, you know, there's not a library of things to draw from to be like, you know, this is this guy's sizzle reel. So I don't know.
Yeah. And to kind of, like, continue what we were talking about last week with Ryback, like, nothing, like, further, like, you know, has solidified whether or not, or what's going to happen with the whole Ryback situation. Basically, kind of more, like, indirect indicators that he's probably done with the company. They moved all of his stuff, all of his merch on clearance or sale or however you want to word it.
Yeah.
And it seems like more and more people are, like, not really on board with his train of thought as far as his blog post from last week.
You mean people in the company?
Or just anyone, really. Like, I feel like more and more people are like, yeah, no, the more I think about it, the more this sounds like idiocy, you know? Like, I understand what he's getting at.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, it's probably not feasible in any manner.
Well, I don't think there's any disagreement that, like, the route he chose to convey his frustrations was quite possibly the worst route.
Sure.
I mean, shy of genuinely trying to scream it into a camera live on Raw.
Do you think that it's going, when, you know, if he went inevitably parts ways from the company, do you think this whole situation is going to have other companies shy away from him first because of this stuff, or
I don't know.
I think beyond a certain level, no. Like,
yeah,
I think
the guy loves wrestling. I think he genuinely loves wrestling. I think he wants to be a wrestler. And again, he was the most over wrestler in the world for about 5 weeks.
Right.
Maybe not quite that much, but there was a time where it was ridiculous. And he can, you know, go back to one of his earlier names and...
Right. Well, yeah, I feel like, a, you know, a smaller promotion will gladly, you know, use his talents for a little while and then kind of build his name back, or his independent name. And then, you know, at that point, within a couple months or so, he'll probably be part of a bigger promotion.
Well, something like TNA... Especially TNA right now, but even TNA...
TNA probably would eat him up.
Yeah, even...
Like, they would probably gladly sign him up.
I would say even TNA a year ago, when they were in, like, a little bit better. Maybe when they were still, like, Destination America TNA. Like, back in those glory days.
Back when the money was just flowing in.
Ryback could have easily been a main event guy on TNA.
Sure.
I think there's... And according to him, according to, like, you know, a random sentence in the middle of that blog post, he has handled his finances well and is going to be fine.
Yeah.
So if he decides he doesn't want to wrestle anymore, theoretically, all right.
Sure. Ironically, the CM Punk route.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, for a guy that really doesn't like CM Punk, he sure as heck is following in his footsteps.
Well, and I talked about it last week. It's like,
the only difference, he doesn't have a friend on a podcast, so he has to resort to a Blogspot, or a Tumblr. Even a Blogspot.
I want to listen to the Art of Wrestling Ryback episode bad. Like, I don't think there is. I do not think, except for the Stone Cold Undertaker episode, I don't think there is a wrestling podcast hosted by a wrestler episode more than I want.
I feel like he would do that. Like, as soon as he's not, like, constricted by a WWE contract, he would want to go on there to kind of, like, set the record straight. Be like, all right, well, you heard this side, and now here's my side. And I don't know, you know, because Colt Cabana, as far as, like, an interviewer perspective, like, I don't really feel like he's really an imposing figure that wouldn't, like, intimidate him from doing an interview or anything like that.
And
I feel like Cole Cabana would probably open it. We have it with open arms.
Yeah. And I again don't know how fresh the wounds still are, but I'd be really interested because, like, if there was a guy that could put them in the same room, CM Punk and Ryback, like, it would be on that podcast.
A summit podcast.
And, like, again, I don't know. If the wounds are too fresh, the wounds are too fresh. But both of those guys seem like they could, like,
sure,
you know.
I feel like from Colt Cabana's perspective, like, probably the only other guest that would just that he would look forward to more than that would probably be, you know, Dr. Amon. After everything was settled in court.
Yeah.
I still have no idea if that's done or not.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's still an ongoing thing or what.
I feel like somebody would have told me, like, some internet thing would have, like, told me if it was all taken care of, cleared up.
Sorry, it sounded like you were about to start a Smash Mouth song.
No.
Sorry.
I'm just saying, like, I that's not something that it would have occurred to me to have to, like, dig out and research, because, yeah, I'll find out when that happens.
Sure, yeah,
it'll,
yeah.
It'll be, you know, shot straight to the top of Square Circle. That is, I'll find out. Somebody will do that research for me.
Sure. I don't have to do it. Because I'm pretty sure, like, there'll be at least one person on Square Circle that's going to be like, I wonder if this is, and then they'll look into it and be like, oh, hey, guys, there's the latest or something.
Yeah.
Or they'll ask the question, at least. I do want to bring up something. There's going to be a new WWE Network special.
And that's confirmed that it's going to be on the network, right?
Yes.
Because they confirmed a lot of matches before they confirmed. Like there was the assumption it would be a network special.
Right.
But they were saying a lot of matches before they had been like, this is definitely going to be the network. And I was like, that's not on the network. I'm going to be so upset.
But yeah, this one especially, because it just feels weird that they're using this card on a house show.
Yeah.
But it's going to be in Hawaii. I believe it's the first time they've been to Hawaii in like six years. Yeah. So clearly they would want to make it a big deal. And boy, have they. End of June, I don't remember the exact date, but the end of June.
It's a Wednesday, I think.
Right. Well, you know, clearly the one that got everyone's ears perked is, John Cena versus Nakamura.
Yeah.
That was the advertised match that, kind of came to everyone's attention last night, I believe. And then more of the matches have kind of been confirmed. Also we're gonna have Charlotte versus Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
You know, also very intriguing, and Brock Lesnar versus Kevin Owens, which, you know, is a WrestleMania match that I've been, you know, a lot of us have been kind of like, you know, fantasy booking for a while.
Yeah. We've talked about these house shows in the past. We've, you know, talked about they can do cool things, but there's definitely some frustrations. Using Roadblock as a specific example, I was like, I'm
using Roadblock as a literal roadblock.
Well, as I, like, going into it being like, there's nothing in here. I know they can't change anything. I know all of this build-up, these 3 weeks on Raw, is a waste of time.
Right.
And while there were great matches on there, like, specifically, there were two particular really fantastic matches.
Right.
But that was a little soured by having to watch 3 weeks knowing that none of this...
Right.
Not only knowing the outcome, but knowing that the outcome was going to be the same even if Roadblock didn't exist.
Right.
Like, it, because there's a little bit, it's a little bit like, you know, I know this outcome, but a title's going to change hands, so we still have to go through that part of the story, so I'll watch that and enjoy that part of the story. But, like, knowing that if Roadblock didn't exist, the story, you know.
None of this would be happening.
Yes.
But I honestly, what they probably need to do, not need, but what would probably help with this whole situation is if they treated it like a pay-per-view.
Right.
Like the time where they kind of just decided that they were going to bring back Elimination Chamber, like, on the fly, and it would just be a network-exclusive pay-per-view.
Right.
And that's really, that's what these are, if you book them the right way. So I feel like that would help if they actually made it a full event.
And Roadblock had the particular misfortune of being bumped right in the middle of WrestleMania, the road to WrestleMania season, where we all knew, you know, what the story was going to be.
Right.
And it felt like they kind of added it in after everybody had the right titles and the right feuds. So he'd be like, oh, here's some other stuff for 3 weeks.
That was something that they really could have and probably should have avoided.
Yeah, I feel like that was just, you know, bad planning, but what else is new? So we talk about they need to treat these like pay-per-views, and stuff needs to happen. They need to be must-watch in order to keep up with the story.
Right.
But the other option is all of the fantasy matches that you won't put on WrestleMania because part-timer issues.
Sure.
You just put them here now.
Right.
And that's kind of what they did for the, like, at least for this Hawaii one.
Yeah.
So, like, that's, I don't really care what the Nakamura Cena build-up is.
No. And it's one of those things, like, I'm there. I'm, you know, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to hate that I'm going to probably be at work when it's happening. Well, I don't know what the time difference is. I'm going to tune in. Like, I don't care that there's not going to be any build-up or anything. Just because, you know, the names on the card are kind of enough.
Yeah.
And I'm intrigued on exactly how they're going to end that match.
Yeah.
You know? And if it's a glorified house show, if it's worth getting mad at Lol Cena wins, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know, because...
Or would it be a big deal if Nakamura were to, you know, pin Cena clean, but it's a house show? Like, it's a televised house show, but it's not going to hold any weight the next day or the next Monday.
I don't know. It's just like, it's something I never thought I would see. Didn't think that would happen. I'm genuinely looking forward to that. I think it takes place after Money in the Bank.
Probably.
Because I think Money in the Bank is in June this year.
Okay.
I always get.
Oh, right, because they break it up now. Because Money in the Bank used to be
in July.
It used to be the last one before SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
But last year they spaced it out some. I think they put Battleground in between.
Yeah, one of those generic titles.
Sure. Yeah.
So. Again, I would like there to be some reason of, like, if I only tune in on Mondays, somebody's like, you should have watched this. You missed it because this surprising happened. Again, that's what you should be using to sell your network. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
So, I will say they are starting to really get a good handle on having a little bit of something for everybody on the network. You know, they just need you to want one show.
Yeah.
If it's not the pay-per-views, which it should be.
Right.
And if you're watching the network but not the pay-per-views, I'm interested as to why, because, like...
Yeah, like, what original programming are you so invested in?
Yeah. There might be
that
somebody...
That makes you still want to pay, you know, $10 a month.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, I don't really care to watch Swerved, but, you know, there is this other thing that... Yeah, and you just got to get, you know, one or two things. The culture shock, I kind of fell off the, what's Renee's show?
Unfiltered.
Yeah, like...
Well, I mean, well, she, you know, the quote-unquote season has been over for a while, and they're supposed to be coming back. It's just, it's been a long...
Break. No, I'm saying I never finished it. I just didn't.
Okay.
It didn't stick with me. It was...
Yeah.
It was this weird half... One foot in, one foot out.
Like, yeah, like a lighthearted interview.
Yeah.
I mean, not as heavy-handed as, you know, one of the podcasts with Stone Cold or...
The thing is, like, it wasn't
or
fully...
JBL, yeah.
It wasn't a fully, you know, a full podcast, kind of like we got to really get in-depth here.
Sure.
But at the same time, it wasn't...
It's a very broad stroke. I don't want to say Oprah-esque, but... Yeah.
But, it wasn't the, like, all the way on the other side where we're focusing on getting this guy over and pumping him up his neck. So it was weird. It didn't quite...
Because otherwise, why would they have someone like Darren Young on?
Yeah.
Although, I don't know if we talked about this.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of...
If you watch SmackDown, which we don't, I'm just going off of what I've read, he's got a manager.
Well,
or...
they were on Raw this week.
They were?
Yeah.
I must have completely missed that.
Yeah, they were on Raw.
Tell me about it.
they did it. It was a pre-taped segment.
Okay.
They were talking straight into camera. Do you not remember this?
No.
Darren Young was talking straight into camera.
And I must have watched it on a weird website. I mean, DVR'd it through or something. I don't know. Go ahead.
He was asking. He asked Bob Buckland to be his life coach.
Yeah.
And Bob Buckland said, "Yeah, I'd be thrilled to be your wrestling coach." He's like, "Well, I think I'm good at wrestling. I don't need a wrestling coach. I need a life coach." And Bob Buckland's like, "No, no, wrestling is life." And so that's your first lesson as a life coach. And then it's, you know, make Darren Young great again.
Right. I heard that catchphrase that they're going with. And I feel like that's got a really limited shelf life.
So watching that piece, Bob Buckland's being Bob Buckland.
Backlund?
Sure. Bob Backlund's Thank being Bob an A in it. Backlund.
Backlund.
Basically, he's not doing a Trump impression. Like, that was the thing, is like...
Right. When I first heard the premise, like, last week or whatever, I was like, he's going to be doing a Trump impression.
Yeah, like, they're going to start doing his hair in a certain way, and you're going to be like, oh...
Sure, yeah.
It doesn't, but, like, it's got the slogan. The slogan's in the font. Like, it's clearly...
Right, something that they're going to go with.
And it's kind of in this, like, weird dipping their toe into the Trump water. We're like, okay, if Trump wins and he's the president... We're all excited about that because, you know, had a WrestleMania match and Trump loves WWE and he's sure. in our Hall of Fame and we're best friends with the president. But the
likelihood is this has a definite shelf life.
They also have this, like, just in case Trump becomes this giant national joke, we're ready for that one too. Like, it feels like they're trying to play both sides sure. of the whole thing.
They're trying to go ahead and get that set up now so mm-hmm. they can, you know, really play it up in November.
So, it's weird, it's strange,
but
don't know why Darren Young was plucked for this one.
I think it's more of like a, why not Darren Young? Because who else would you put in that?
I don't exactly. know.
Like, exactly. They've like, hey, you're not doing anything.
He was the first one they found in the hall.
Yeah.
So.
Just from a train wreck aspect, I kind of do want there to be like a comedic segment where like Bob Backlund takes it upon himself to like try to help Darren Young with the ladies. And Darren Young just, you know, doing the Tom Haverford from season one, just looking at the camera and be like, nope.
I can get behind that. I'll be honest.
Yeah. Like, it could be horrible, but yet if they do it the right way, it could be hilarious.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
Yeah, okay. Alright, WWE, we know you listen to us. There's your idea.
Is there anything else that we need to really delve into? It's weird because we don't have much time between two pay-per-views yet.
Yeah.
Because I don't have, like, it's not prediction week yet, I'm still kind of like, all right.
And yet, and yet we still have, to be fair, we still have a lot of stuff that is continuing over from the previous pay-per-view, so there's not really a whole lot to, you know, expand upon.
Right.
So yep. We've kind of already said all this.
Blank and Blank continue to fight.
Yeah, I mean, we called this whole Intercontinental Championship Fatal 4-Way like 2 weeks ago, so it's what else is there to...
Zack Ryder got a match
that
he lost.
They're still doing this R-Truth Goldust thing.
Yeah.
This thing didn't have legs to begin with, and yet it's still here.
This really makes me feel bad for Tyler Breeze.
It makes me feel bad for pretty much everybody.
Well, like, Goldust is gonna...
Sure, and what else is R-Truth gonna do?
Goldust basically has, you know, this forever net of, not the worst thing I've ever done.
True.
Like, I don't think they'll ever get at that level again.
And for Fandango, this is a step up.
For Fandango, it's a step up. And for R-Truth, just glad to be there, I think. In all honesty, like, I think he's having fun.
At his age, at this stage of his career, yeah.
He's just like...
He's just happy to participate.
You know, it's the week that, you know, that annual, let's get rid of a bunch of stuff. And R-Truth's going, not me!
Yeah.
I got a Goldust feud we got to finish up.
Well, we also said that with 3M. Well, you would think that with 3MB, because they were still on the show pretty regularly. And then... 2/3 of them got canned.
And one of them's still there.
to defy all logic, yep. even though his group is not on TV. It's so weird. Yeah, and one of his guys in the group may well be on his way out.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Heath Slater and Darren Young lasted the longest.
So weird.
It is.
Considering, like, the upside that Ryback had, and the upside that Wade Barrett had, to be honest with you.
Well, if you were to go back and... Ignoring Daniel Bryan, because he was I know he was on the show for a large
time. He was a part of the NXT group. He was never part of Nexus.
Yeah.
When they gave him the name.
So just, like, ranking them in tiered kayfabe, like, Wade Barrett at number one... Skip Sheffield at number two.
Are we, like, thinking about this, like, through our perspective, or are we thinking, like, who do we think WWE would try to hold on to and push?
Well,
if that's the case, David Otunga all the way.
You think?
Oh, yeah. They were pretty big on him.
Yeah, but, like, he was, like, safely in the middle of how much he won. Like, Wade Barrett was...
Well, sure. Well, okay, and also was, you know, I get them
if you look
realizing that he had some work to still be done. Wade Barrett was probably the more
let's go back to watching, like, going into that SummerSlam match, SummerSlam 2010.
Sure.
Who do you think going into that SummerSlam match, if you had to make a prediction then of who would be the guy that they would be putting a world title on eventually of those seven? Looking at how they had built Nexus, how they had built them as a group, and
I feel like at that point, Wade Barrett was the clear favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like not right behind, but, like, you know, behind him in the number two would be Otunga, maybe Skip Sheffield.
Yeah, I'd put Otunga at, like, four.
Really?
Otunga and Michael Trevor were kind of like Tarver. Whatever.
Trevor.
Whatever.
Okay.
That is the epitome of whatever. David Otunga and that guy.
Really thought that they were, like, kind of buying Tarver, because I've never felt like they were that enthused.
At that moment, that like right after that, he got himself hurt and then stood in the background of, like, three episodes
He did.
So he went downhill fast, but I think Skip Sheffield had the most in-ring time in that match of any guy on that.
Well, out of the three who are still technically employed by WWE, who do you think will be the last to go?
Darren Young.
You think Darren Young will be the last to go?
Yeah, that's a nightmare to release him now.
From a PR standpoint? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, just looking at how, like, a lot of the... Granted, the NFL gets a lot more media attention, but the fact... The storm that they face with the whole, like, teams really constantly releasing Michael Sam...
Yeah,
you know, the openly gay NFL player that was originally drafted by the Rams, got cut in the preseason, then signed by the Cowboys, and he was pretty much put on the practice squad most of the entire year until they finally cut him. And granted, like, the Cowboys can take some negative PR, like, that's just what they do, but it was still, like, a massive poop storm.
Yeah. I don't think
WWE's wanting to really put up with that. But again, I feel like WWE's gotten really good about, like, doing stuff like that and just burying it.
Well, they have kept people on the show who have done less for the company than Darren Young, like, for long, inexplicable periods of time.
Sure.
So,
and also it will, when the day comes that they and Darren Young part ways.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it will be determined by Darren Young's reaction afterwards. If he's angry and has a lot of negative things to say about how that, you know, that happened, then yeah, WWE's going to be... But now if he's like, you know, no hard feelings, I know it's a business, I did what I could, and I'm just thankful for the experience or stuff like that, then no one's really going to make anything of it.
I will say, I think Heath Slater's got a job for life. I think he's, like, he's a jobber, but...
Right.
They don't have Santino. He's kind of got that, like... He's apparently a very safe worker, because they keep trusting him with all their fragile right. legends.
Yeah.
So...
But they love them some David Otunga in front of a camera.
I know they do. I know they do.
Pre-shows, but still.
I know they do. And David Otunga might, you know, might be another guy who has a job for life. I think his in-ring career is pretty much over.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, that, you know, Baron, not Baron Corbin, Brian Saxton had an in-ring career.
Byron.
You know what?
You're really bad with names tonight.
Do you want to know why? It's because somebody has to record podcasts at 11 o'clock at night.
I mean, I do too.
Yeah.
I'm here at 11 o'clock at night.
And who's going to wake up first? Who woke up first this morning? Let's play the game, who woke up first this morning?
Well, I mean, I woke up at various times of the night, but I'm just kind of a light sleeper like that. I wake up pretty much every hour. And I probably should get, you know, that looked at or checked on.
To that I say,
and then I can typically go back to sleep within, like, 15, 20 minutes.
You know who I'm talking about.
Me?
Brian Saxton.
Brian? Yes. Byron Saxton.
Yeah, Billy Saxton.
He's not a dirt. I was going to make a point, and I lost it all in your stupid Brian Saxton. Screw it. What's making you happy this week, Joel?
Saw Civil War.
Yeah, me too.
Civil War's pretty good.
It is.
Not going to go into it too much, obviously. You haven't seen it yet, the viewer.
But speaking in vague terms, like, did you really care about the post-credit stuff?
Because
I was, like, kind of mad about it.
Post-credits, you should watch it because of the post-credits.
Well, sure, yeah. I'm not saying don't.
But they are there because post-credits are part of movies now. It's a necessity for a Marvel movie.
I was a little bit more... I kind of like the first one a little bit more.
I honestly don't remember which one was which one.
Jungle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Okay.
It was... I think Winter Soldier was better.
As an overall movie, yeah.
But I think that walking away from Civil War, I had a lot more to discuss and hash out with Civil War.
Right.
Civil War trial, and
which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
No. Like, I think that's a good thing. Is like I had a lot more to be like, we need to talk about this movie because it did this and it tried this and this was different, and I was really impressed that they attempted this, and so. It's worthy of discussion, which is a good thing.
Sure.
And, I think it's a better Avengers 2 than actual Avengers 2 was.
I can agree with that.
As an Avengers movie, it serves as a better follow-up to the first Avengers than Age of Ultron.
Watching both Winter Soldier and now Civil War, I have a lot more faith in the Russo brothers. We're pretty much, like, taking over, like, the mantle that,
Joss Whedon.
Yeah, Joss Whedon.
James Whedon.
Because, you know, he's done his part, and he can gladly be rid of the headache from now on, and the Russo brothers are taking over from then, which means we'll probably get more and more, you know, cast members from Community making cameos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yay, Dean Pelton. Mm-hmm. But watching this, I put more confidence. Like, I had confidence in them going in, but this gave me more confidence that the Infinity War movies are going to be worthwhile.
Yeah, I had no doubt. I never had a doubt. I don't know why you did.
I didn't have a doubt. I'm just saying there is...
Sounded like you had a doubt to me.
Plenty. There's confidence placed upon the already outstanding confidence.
I had confidence from the get-go.
Well, you know what's making me happy this week, Joel?
I had confidence in 2002.
Okay.
That's when Spider-Man came out.
Ugh, gross. Okay.
You didn't like Spider-Man?
It was okay.
You nerd.
I don't like Spider-Man in general.
You suck.
I will say.
I was sitting in that theater watching Spider-Man, and I was like, in about 15 years, there's going to be an awesome Infinity War movie. I can feel it.
I will say this. I thoroughly enjoyed Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And because it's not a spoiler. Like, they announced he was going to be in the movie, like, forever ago.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed Spider-Man in this.
Yeah.
I hope that they can, like, kind of... in spirit, continue that into the inevitable, like, you know, solo movie. Mm-hmm. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
But what's making me happy, since you're about ready to skip over it because you don't care about my happiness.
You said Civil War.
No. Far be it for me to put over another podcast on our podcast. But Beardsley got me into Hello from the Magic Tavern.
You're just not getting Hello from the Magic
I'm
Tavern?
I'm just not getting into it.
Dude, I've gotten that was a good podcast.
It's still going.
That is a good podcast. That's what I said.
You said what?
I said that's a good podcast.
Yeah, I've kind of like just full on Netflix binge listened.
Yeah.
On that, I'm like in 2 days. I'm on episode 30 something, 31, 32.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting, and I don't know. It hasn't given me like solid ideas, but it kind of makes me want to do something similar.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, of course, people listening to it and be like, well, they're ripping this off of Hello from the Magic Tavern, and you would be absolutely right.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't care. I found myself yelling at my roommate Ed as Usador most of this past weekend.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go check that out. If you're a fantasy nerd like most of us are, you'll love it.
Can I go now?
Yes, you can go.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Sierra Tire. We live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, and a reminder, like, you know, what we're talking about as far as the factions discussion, if you want to share all your thoughts, send that to our email. That's classicrinkattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to keep up with the podcast. There's a subscribe button on iTunes, and if you click it, then you'll get new episodes every single week downloaded directly to your device, whatever it may be. You give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
And I'm going to change this up because I just now realized that insidepulse.com/wrestling is no longer the URL for them. So if you're listening to us just on insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
How many people have been lost? Being like, I want more of this. But this URL doesn't work.
Yeah.
How many wasted fans?
I don't know. I don't want to know.
And we're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. Follow the podcast. See what other kind of things we're working on.
Absolutely.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.